Washington Journal continues.
Dr. Jerome Corsi is on your screen. He's in Cleveland, and you started a bit of a firestorm on the radio talk shows this week. What was it all about?
Well, Brian, it's a great honor to be with you. I wrote an article in WorldNet Daily in which I'm discussing this new presidential directive. It was a national security homeland security presidential directive, and the designations of it on the White House website are NS for National Security, PD for Presidential Directive 51, and HS for Homeland Security, PD 20. And Brian, what it did is it defined a national emergency in a very broad terms. It gave the president the ability to declare that a national emergency existed, and then assumed the president could take up the following powers, which is all national essential functions for continuity of the government, including directing all federal, state, local, territorial, and tribal governments, as well as private sector organizations, which were going to continue functioning under the president's directives in the event of a national emergency. And, Brian, I wrote about it because I think this is the most broad definition of emergency powers I've ever seen a president award to themselves, and it really is virtually dictatorial powers, the ability to take over and manage all levels of government, including private sector organizations. And the directives have no indication that to get these powers the president has to go to Congress. It looks from the language as if the president on his own declaration, President Bush, could just say, well, we have an emergency, and there's some very broad definitions of emergency in the Security and Prosperity Partnership working groups. We have an emergency, it's avian flu, and I'm going to assume all these powers, and I'm now directing even tribal governments. So, Brian, I think it was a very alarming directive. The White House press release included no discussion of why the directive was issued today and what it's about. I called the White House Tony Snow's office in preparing for the article, and they declined to comment. So I published the article and said it's really a power grab and it's quite an alarming usurpation of emergency powers.
Now, I first heard it on Bill Press's radio show. He has a radio show that's 6 to 9 a.m. that's heard here in Washington, and he was all upset. He calls himself a progressive, a liberal. What have you found on these talk shows? Who's more upset about it, the liberals or the conservatives?
Well, I think, you know, Brian, it's across the board. I think there's a great number of conservatives who are now worried that President Bush is acting in ways that are outside the Constitution, that he's not being careful or attentive to taking the appropriate steps to make his decisions and reasoning clear. I mean, this comes on the heels. This was done on May 9th. It was signed. On April 30th, President Bush, again without congressional approval, signed an agreement with the European Union in which he created a transatlantic economic council, a new cabinet-level office, again, no congressional approval of the office being created, with the idea to economically integrate us with the European Union. And it was co-signed by Chancellor Merkel of Germany and the head of the EU. I mean, a ceremony in the White House, again, without consultation to Congress at all. And you know, we see right now this new McCain immigration bill that came out of a closed conference, compromise conference in the White House, and the White House wanted to have a vote on this virtually before any senators could read it. So there's a great deal of concern, I think, on both liberals and conservatives. The president's taking powers onto himself that don't have a basis in the Constitution, and this idea of emergency powers is particularly frightening because students of history will remember that even in ancient Rome, the consuls who wanted to become emperors or dictators declared emergencies, and then they said, well, they were the emperor in charge of solving the problem. And these directives, NSPD 51 and HSPD 20, allow the president to take over the management of all executive branches of government down to the tribal level, plus operate private sector organizations. I've never seen any definition like this in any document I've looked at in presidential history.
Dr. Jerome Corsi, a Harvard PhD from 1972, is talking to us this morning from Cleveland. Let me show you, I don't know if you can see what we have here, but on May the 10th, the Washington Post thought that this was important enough to put only on page 13, or I think page 12. And they're not alarmed by it. Bush changes continuity plan, administration, not DHS, would run shadow government by Spencer Sue. President Bush issued a formal national security directive yesterday ordering agencies to prepare contingency plans for a surprise decapitating attack on the federal government and assigned responsibility for coordinating such plans to the White House. The prospect of a nuclear bomb being detonated in Washington without warning, whether smuggled in by terrorists or foreign governments, has been cited by many security analysts as a rising concern since September 11, 2001 attacks. Why? And the rest of the media hasn't really, they haven't addressed this, don't seem to care about it. Why are you so upset and they're not?
Well, I think, Brian, you just hit on reasons why C-SPAN is watched by an increasing number of people. I know that at WorldNet Daily, where I've been writing as an investigative reporter now for several years, we're getting 8 or 9 million viewers, distinct viewers every month, 50, 60 million page views a month. The reason is that the mainstream media does not seem to be covering issues which are of deep concern to the American people. The idea that the president could redefine a national emergency to be completely within his own authority is fairly frightening. I mean, we have a National Emergency Act, which is already passed. It's U.S. Code, Title 50, Chapter 34, Subchapter 2, Section 1621, and it requires that the president, in declaring a national emergency, come immediately to Congress and publish the declaration in the Federal Register. This new national security and homeland security directive, National Security Directive 51 and Homeland Security Directive 20, have no requirement to go to Congress, and say nothing about how this directive complies with or supersedes the National Emergency Act requirements to notify Congress. It seems to me it supersedes it, and that's particularly frightening because you've got the ability of the executive. Our founding fathers were well aware of what the ancient Romans used to do. If they wanted to define these kinds of emergency powers into the Constitution, they could have done it. We just got rid of, at that point, King George III in England, and the founding fathers wanted to balance in a limited constitutional republic the power of the executive. And I don't think the American people are ready for King George W. Bush to undertake these kinds of authorities without some very thorough discussion in the public debate.
Let me, before we grab a call, bring our audience up to date on your background. You were very much involved in the 2004 campaign. You were the co-author, I believe, with John O'Neill, of Unfit for Command. Am I right so far?
Yes, that's correct. I co-authored that with John O'Neill and worked with the Swift Boat Vets to tell their story.
On the Wikipedia site under your name, they say that in January of 2005, you told the Boston Herald that you planned to bid for John Kerry's seat in Massachusetts in 2008, and then you stated also you would run for as a Republican or an independent. Is that still active?
My wife vetoed that. She did not want me moving up to Massachusetts to run against John Kerry. She thought it would be a losing effort in Massachusetts. Besides, she likes living in New Jersey. The Constitution Party right now is the National Veterans Coalition is trying to draft me to be their presidential candidate in 2008, and I'm considering it. I will not go to Massachusetts and run against John Kerry, but I am actively talking with the Constitution Party, and I've not been a Democrat or a Republican. I've never, to my knowledge, been registered with either party. I've certainly not been an active participant in either. I joined the Constitution Party, but that's my affiliation. I don't consider myself either a Republican or a Democrat.
We had a hard time finding somebody to talk about what you are talking about on the, from the other side. But John Fortier will join us by phone at the bottom of the hour. He's from Continuity of Government Commission, and we'll just get his take on it. But let's go to the phones. Where's home originally?
I was born and raised in Cleveland. It's nice to be back in Cleveland today.
Where's your home now?
My home now is in New Jersey. We live close to Morristown, New Jersey, north central Jersey, and I've lived there now going on to about 18 years.
You can find all of this that we're talking about on our cspan.org website, or you can get it at World... what's the actual... worldnewsdaily.com?
WorldNetDaily. WorldNetDaily.com or WND.com.
Thank you.
WorldNetDaily.com.